This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a football Friday, which means we're getting you ready for the NFL slate on Sunday. But before the NFL games kick off, there's a great Saturday of college football ahead. And to discuss those matchups and give us some thoughts on the upcoming games around the country, Matt Fortuna of The Athletic College Football site, and you can check them out at The Athletic CFB, joins us. Matt, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. Really appreciate it. I want to start with the perceived best game of the weekend. That's number 6, Oklahoma State, number 16, TCU. Why are people so excited about this game?
Well, Oklahoma State has just looked phenomenal offensively so far. I know they were a popular dark horse college football playoff pick coming into the season, myself included, had them as the Big 12 champion going into this year, and they've done nothing to really dissuade any of us believers so far. Mason Rudolph, it's probably 1-2 or 2-1 between him and fellow Sooner State quarterback Baker Mayfield right now atop most people's Heisman Trophy charts, and they've just looked phenomenal. I mean, especially to go into Pittsburgh last week, to basically dominate a Pat Narduzzi defense, to have four receivers get 100 yards apiece before the fourth quarter and essentially name their score on the road. They've looked really, really sharp so far. Now they get a good Big 12 test from a defense that's usually pretty good in TCU.
Matt, Penn State's good. We know that they're good. I think how good it kind of remains to be seen so far. They've beaten up on some lesser opponents, let's say. I've talked myself into the idea that Iowa's going to give them a tough ball game in Iowa. Am I a crazy person?
As a Penn State grad who saw two football seasons ruined because of Iowa, no, you're not crazy at all. The Hawkeyes have traditionally been a thorn in Penn State's side. This is a different Penn State team, though. I mean, they took care of Iowa pretty handily last year.
Yep.
I know Kinnick Stadium on the road at night is a very, very tough place to play, but I'm not sure I see it, both with Iowa's personnel and the fact that everyone, myself, yourself, everyone, is kind of building this up as a trap game. I just think it becomes less of a trap when we all talk about it. And Penn State, who still really hasn't played anyone all that good so far, I think they still come out and look, you know, not as sharp as they did the first three games, but I think they win this one pretty handily.
That's a good point. Trap games typically weren't trap games before they happened.
If you announce it's a trap game, can it still be a trap game?
Matt Fortuna, the All-American with us on Grant and Danny. Mississippi State, Georgia is going to be fun. Couple of top 20 teams. Georgia had an injury to Jacob Eason at quarterback and hasn't had a drop-off to this point. Are the Bulldogs for real?
We'll see. I mean, the most telling thing to me is I saw them week two at Notre Dame, and they held Notre Dame to 55 rushing yards. And this is a Notre Dame team that's run, I believe, for 400 or more rushing yards in their other two games against Temple and against Boston College. And I know the competition level isn't quite as big or as tough as Georgia's defense is, but that defense said a lot to me. I think this week we're going to learn a lot about both them and Mississippi State. I mean, if we really want to project things out right now, this could be a battle for who's the second best team in the SEC behind Alabama. Mississippi State looked really, really good last week in upsetting LSU. And Nick Fitzgerald, their quarterback, he's a guy who you're looking for a dark horse. You're looking for a guy who's not Sam Darnold or Saquon Barkley or Baker Mayfield, a guy who could sneak up and be this kind of a Cinderella Heisman candidate. If Nick Fitzgerald goes into Sanford Stadium and leads the Bulldogs to a win over the Mississippi State Bulldogs to a win over Georgia's Bulldogs, I think he's the guy you're going to be hearing a lot about the rest of this season because he looks so good against LSU. And if he's able to do it against an even better defense against Georgia, then watch out.
Give me what about this game tonight? Utah, which I feel like is perennially underrated in that Pac-12 or 13 or 11, whatever the heck they're doing these days. But I feel like nobody ever talks about Utah the way that they should. At Arizona, Arizona dropped a close one to Houston. We don't know how good they are yet because they've only played one game. But Arizona can run the football a little bit. Give me a handicap on this matchup tonight.
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it with Utah. They're a program that just is very buttoned up and going to beat you and going to beat you and go on to the next opponent and not really talk about it. I mean, you never hear a whole lot about them. But no matter what conference they're in, and again, in this case, the Pac-12, They always play really, really well, and I really like their quarterback so far, Tyler Huntley, who unseated Troy Williams last year and is a tremendous dual-threat guy who can beat you with both his arm and his legs. I think he's been a pleasant surprise for that team so far. They have a tough go of it with that schedule, playing in the South, where they're going to have to play USC, and they still have to play Stanford and Oregon and Washington from the North as well. I'm surprised to see there are only 2 or 3 point favorites going on the road to Arizona this tonight not Tempe, Tucson, excuse me, because I think they've looked really sharp so far, and if Tyler Huntley can keep it up, then they've got a chance in the Pac-12 South. I don't think they're going to beat USC, but they'll make a run.
Matt's work's available, the All-American great content on college football. Grant and Danny breaking down the Saturday that will be here on The Fan. It's probably too early in late September to talk Heisman, but I am always curious about what the board looks like, because it's hard to come from obscurity if you don't get up to a quick start. Baker Mayfield, to me, should be the favorite right now. I want to see if you agree with that. And then who else would you say is up top? Would it be like Saquon Barkley and Mason Rudolph, Lamar Jackson? Am I missing anybody?
Yeah, Lamar Jackson, I mean, he's always going to have an uphill climb just because he's the defending Heisman winner who put up video game-type numbers last year. And fair or not, the expectation for him is going to be to outdo that, which is almost impossible. And when he, not necessarily him, but his team lays an egg against Clemson in a primetime showing like they did this past weekend, that's a really big hole to dig out of, especially with so many other viable candidates so far. Saquon Barkley could be one of them. He's looked great so far, but they really haven't used him a whole lot yet. He's only carrying about 10 to 14 times a game in those first three games. I'm sure we'll see his workload increase now that they get into Big Ten play and they try to make another run at a league title here. So I wouldn't sleep on him by any means, but I'm with you. The three I had in our straw poll this week in this order were Baker Mayfield, Mason Rudolph, and Rashad Penny, the running back from San Diego State, which is pretty much RBU at this point. We keep sleeping on them because they're not a Power 5 team, but no one has run the ball as well as them so far. Our colleague Chantel Jennings had a great story on that kind of tradition they have with all those great running backs coming out of San Diego State year after year. But 3-0, two wins against Pac-12 opponents. It's going to be tough for Rashad Penny to keep that up and to convince people probably not watching his games against smaller opponents that he deserves Heisman consideration, because he's playing late at night, he's playing under the radar games, he's going to have to run for more yards than maybe a Saquon Barkley would. But so far, they've played as tough a schedule as anyone, and they've come out of it unscathed, and Penny has looked like the real deal. So through 3 weeks, again, I'm not projecting anything out here, but my Heisman through 3 weeks is Baker Mayfield, Mason Rudolph, and Rashad Penny.
Matt, UW's a team that I came into the season liking, and they've played next to nobody and looked great doing it. But I really like the Browning kid, the quarterback. I think he can play. They got Colorado this weekend. I don't know if they'll be tested just yet, but is that a team that can make some noise in the Pac-12?
I'm sorry, Washington or Colorado?
UW, sorry. Yeah, forget about Colorado. I like Washington.
Yeah, I like Washington, too. They give me no reason to not believe them so far. I know they had a shaky first half on the road in their opener against a not very good Rutgers team. But last year, too, they didn't really play anyone in the non-conference, and it almost came back to bite them when, two Big Ten teams almost got into the playoff over them. But there's no reason to think this team can't make another run at a Pac-12 title in a college football playoff berth. They're that good on defense. Jake Browning, like you said, is consistently one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the country. He has a great group of receivers around him. I do think this game's being slept on a little bit. Rarely do you see a conference title game rematch in September that really goes unhyped, and that's exactly what this one is in Washington, Colorado. I know the Huskies had their way with the Buffaloes last year in the Pac-12 title game, but that's a tough place to play. It's a very late game. As we know, Pac-12 after dark, if it's a 10 o'clock Eastern kickoff or later, weird stuff is going to happen. So I'm sure it's going to be appointment viewing. I'm sure it's going to be an entertaining game. But I fully expect Washington to win that one and to keep it up in a North that's looking a little different than what we expected it to coming in. I don't think Stanford's as good as we thought they were, but I do think Oregon is better than we thought they were.
Matt, as you know, you're on the air in D.C. Maryland and Virginia Tech, the two teams I'd say the majority of our audience cares the most about. Maryland's got UCF, Tech hosting Old Dominion. Your thoughts on those teams early this season, those matchups?
Virginia Tech impressed me a lot in the opener against West Virginia. And aside from that, we don't really know a whole lot, right? They haven't played anyone, and they're not going to play anyone until next week when Lane Stadium will have a great night environment with the defending national champion Clemson Tigers coming to town. Another conference title game rematch And that's a game where, win or lose, I think we'll learn a lot about this team because they're very young at the skill positions. They've really played extremely well last year in Justin Fuente's first year at the helm in Blacksburg and winning the Coastal and winning 10 games. I'm very curious to see. I mean, I think we all expect them to beat Old Dominion pretty handily tomorrow. But I'm very curious to see how they can compete with the team in Clemson, who after last week, everyone, myself included, is essentially penciling them in for another title game rematch with Alabama. Lane Stadium is a very tough place to play at. This is a very young team, especially with a redshirt freshman quarterback in Josh Jackson. If they can handle themselves really well, even if it's in a close defeat, I think they're going to be the team to beat in the Coastal for a second straight year. Maryland's another one. We don't know what to expect out of tomorrow's game because, unfortunately, due to circumstances beyond everyone's control, UCF has only played one game, and they looked really good in it back in August against FIU. But they had back-to-back games canceled. It's a team that has its sights on potentially being the Group of Five New Year's Six Bowl team and potentially winning the American Athletic Conference. We'll learn about them. I wonder if they're distracted at all because after the news out of Nebraska yesterday, it's like everyone's penciling in Scott Frost as the next Nebraska coach, and we obviously have a long way to go until we get to that point, including actually firing the sitting Nebraska coach after three games. But I'm curious to see a lot about that game because Maryland's looked good so far, but, you know, they're going to have to ask a lot more out of a true freshman quarterback in Kasim Hill. And I just don't know what to expect from this UCF Knights team since they played only one game and they've had essentially 3 weeks off.
See why we wanted to have him on. Matt Fortuna knows his college foosball, at @Matt_Fortuna on Twitter. Matt, thanks for the time, buddy. This was great.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Matt. And that is your preview of what you will see Saturday as you sit down on your couch to watch hours of college football. There's nothing better, by the way, than the fall.
It's
leaves are going to be coming off the trees.
Let it
tomorrow,
embrace it.
I think, is the first day officially of fall. There's fires at some point, like bonfires sit around. Just the smell in the air is better. I love the fall.
Whiny children and the model ladies in bikinis like the summertime. For everyone else, the grown-ups, the rest of us that don't live charmed lives or we live outside of hotels in Miami, go to work. It's a pleasant temperature. You don't sweat. And the best sports time of the year.
It is for
adults. The fall is for adults.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. What would a Redskins win over the Raiders mean? What would a Redskins loss to Oakland mean? We'll get to that next. Hey, guys. Grant Paulson for my buddy, Jerry Mannix. Mannix Heating and Cooling. That is the company. They are the true pros in all aspects of their game. Clean and respectful in your home. Their product knowledge, second to none, especially when it comes to Mitsubishi Electric equipment from installation to service. I know all this because they came to my dad's home. I talked to Jerry. I said, hey, my dad's got this house. He's got a room where he cannot get air properly ventilated. It's either too hot in the summer, too cold in the winter. Jerry said, I know how to fix that. Mitsubishi Electric Cooling and Heating Systems. More efficient, don't require tedious ductwork. I said, great, let's do it. Because most cases, we can get it knocked out in less than a day. A couple hours there, they left. My dad's life is improved. Call Jerry Mannix at 703-777-9211. He's going to take care of you. He's my guy. 703-777-9211 or go to ManixHVAC.com. Tell them Grant sent you.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.